Amen. As I stand before you tonight, I see so many that are well able to accomplish what I'm about to try and do. But I count it an honor and a privilege that you would give me the opportunity to preach tonight. I'm so thankful to get to sing with my family. It's been a long time. But every time that I sing with them, I'm reminded of what heaven will sound like one day, where we'll no longer be bound by blood bond, but as one true family. And for that, I can hear the sounds of heaven ring in my ear from time to time. I can hear the true harmony of God begin to come out as we sing. And so tonight, I'm touched and I'm honored. But more than anything, I'm just glad that God has given us another opportunity to come in and be in the midst. As I was singing, I just felt in my spirit, Jared, you don't know of another opportunity that you'll have to worship like you are tonight. You don't know of the next chance that you'll get to worship and be free in my spirit. We're coming in times where what was once a free thing in God has been removed. And we're coming in times where people's opinions are greater than people's anointings. And it's causing them to grow silent in a day of wickedness where it prevails. I see people in the midst of me right now that still have integrity. Tonight I see people sitting in front of me that still have substance. Tonight I see before me people with great potential. Tonight I see warriors. I see people that'll sound the trumpet. I see people that'll provide provision. I see givers and I see singers. I see preachers and I see teachers. I still see a few that are willing to fight the good fight. And for that, I give you honor tonight. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Father, just pray with me right now. Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity that you've given us to minister and to worship tonight. But God, I know that you have not brought this wonderful congregation this way without a purpose. And Father, I pray that every mind be opened, every heart be opened, every spirit be opened, that they would receive the word of God in its foolishness and in its truth, that Lord, we not get distracted, but that we focus on the true matter at hand and serve you in gladness. Let this be engrafted in their hearts and let us go forward in you, God. And in the name of Jesus, the church says amen. Let us open up in the word of God, if I can even do this, to the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. If there's a Bible in front of you somewhere, get a hold of it. I believe that as we develop the repetition of performing something, it's a part of our character. So the more you pick up your Bible, the more you'll be accustomed to in the future. Before we begin, I'm just going to ask you, you give me your honest answer. Are you glad that you're here? Amen. All right, without further ado, let's read a little bit in the Word. Let's start at verse 24. So Matthew 17 chapter, 24th verse. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" When you hear the word tribute, think about taxes. "Does your master not pay tribute?" He saith, "Yea." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook." Say hook. "And take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." When they entered into Capernaum, there was a tribute or a tax that they had to pay. And Jesus used this as an opportunity to not only supply the need, but to teach Peter about something that if we can get a hold of it as a church today, we'll not only hold on to what we've got in God, but we'll grow in it. It's important to know about this kind of thing because you may not always have the shelter of a church to keep your mind. You may not have a best friend to support you. You might not have your mother and father with you today to speak kind words and comforting words and affectionate words. You may attempt to reach out to a pastor and they not be available to you when you will call. There's going to be times when you will feel alone, without help, without somebody to help you. And tonight I've come for you who feels alone. I've been sent here tonight with this word for those of you that feel like that you have no one. For God would not have gave me this if it wasn't expedient that you hear it. I want to read a scripture to you. For I want you to understand the reason that he sent him out into the sea to fish for this thing instead of just creating the money and giving it to him. You see, Jesus could have pulled out the money and handed it right to him and said, you go and pay a debt that you can't pay. But there was something to be learned about understanding where the provision came from and what you would have to do to get there. If we just lived in a society where we all were able just to be paid monthly with no effort, then we would not understand the worth of what we earn. I take great pride in my job. I work hard. I work honest. I do the best that I can. And the money that I get from those earnings, when I spend it, I'm proud of it. I'm proud of what I got because I went out and made the effort for it. And if somebody tried to discount my dollar, I would tell them that I beg to differ, that I worked for it, that I paid my taxes, that I do an honest work, that it is worth something. Currency is worth what it is worked for. Had Jesus just gave him the money, there wouldn't have been a lesson to be learned. When you receive salvation in your life, there is a portion of spirit that is within you that gives you the ability to receive Christ in your life. There's a measure of faith that you've been given to believe that when it epiphanizes in your mind, you say, oh God, I want to be forgiven. I believe in Jesus Christ. So there is something within you that if you'll call out on it, that you will receive of it. So I'm here to tell you that salvation in its foundation wasn't just given to us automatically, but it was something that we had to go after and we had to believe that if we went for it, that we would receive it. Do you know where this is going tonight? All the other scriptures you read in the Bible in reference to fishing, they used nets. Cast your nets over to the other side. This is the one time in the Bible that you will read of and see that the instruction was to go out with a rod and a hook to go after that one fish. Some people ask me, what is your greatest burden as a minister? What is it that leaves you so heavy as you preach? Do you want to know the real answer? Can I be honest with you tonight? We have a church that knows Jesus. We have a church that knows the Spirit of God. We have a church that knows the gifts of the Spirit. What grieves me every day in my life was that we know who the master of the sea is. We know who created the fish. We know who holds the storehouse. Yet we're not willing as human beings to go after what God has already given. I'm here tonight to tell you that though you may feel alone, that God has already promised you a joy beyond all understanding and a peace that goes beyond the depths of your thoughts. That he'll give you a love that nobody could love you with. A love that's greater than a fleshly love. It's agape. It's something that's with you. It's a lingering love. It goes forth with you. But what grieves me is that we don't realize our full potential because we're not willing to take action. Peter couldn't have got it paid had he not went fishing. Oh, he wouldn't have received his blessing had he not went after the fish. We're praying for the money sometimes, and we forget that we've got to go fishing and get down and pray and get before God with our heart. And we forget how much the Word of God means, and we neglect how wonderful the we could have had church tonight and could have skipped the preaching, but I'm here tonight to tell you right now that if we don't learn to go fishing and if we don't learn to get out and go after the fish instead of just the blessing, we're going to miss out on the lessons that we could learn, oh, from doing what God would have us to do. Hebrews 11 chapter verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Somebody say hope. and the evidence of things not seen. A lot of times we read this verse and we say that faith is the star of the sentence. But I'm here to tell you, it's only the supporting actor. The one thing that you've got to have to make faith even worthwhile is hope. We're living in a day where churches have faith to come in Sunday after Sunday after Wednesday after Wednesday. They'll come in, they'll tithe, they'll sing, they'll preach, they'll teach, they'll go through the motions of church, but they lack the substance that makes faith something powerful. I'm not just talking about having a feel-good experience, but I'm talking about getting in a place where hope comes alive. I want to ask somebody, where is your hope for the things that you long for? Do you not already know that God has already done what you need Him to do? Don't you already know that you've saved your dying soul? He redeemed you from corruption. He saved you that you not make hell your home. But we're desensitized. We come in, we're so used to church that we forget how to enjoy what God has already blessed us with. My Lord, can I get somebody to stop being numb to the blessings of God? Well, oftentimes we wonder where God really is, but if we would stop being desensitized by the world and by opinions and by the news and by negativity, we'd see how good that we already have it, and it'd give you the willpower to go out to the sea and to believe that you could get what God has promised you. This wasn't a sea with just one fish. Millions. Billions. Yet it was promised that if he would go and put his hook out, when he felt the first thing to pull, the reason that you see take the first thing is that you don't always have the promise of conviction. Another time and another time and another time. Some of us could have, I know you're not going to like this, but if I don't start preaching it like I'm feeling it, I'm going to be in trouble. Oftentimes we could have already been to that one fish. We could have already been to that one blessing. We could have already been to that shout that we wish that we could shout again. We'd already be back to the dance that we used to dance. We'd already be back to preaching with fire and with power. We'd begin to see the healing power of God move upon the sick. We begin to feel the anointing like we used to, not just to get us to move every now and then, but cause us to be in the door moving with excitement and with zeal. If we only knew the opportunities that we've let go by, we wouldn't let another one slip through our fingers. If you only knew that if you put your rod out there and pull it in, that you could get blessed. But here now we come to the classic conflict of mankind. God has gave us the ability to conquer the land, but he's always had a hard time finding somebody willing to fight the fight. Even when he came across Gideon, the one who was appointed to do it, still afraid about what he was able to do. For those of you that feel insecure, I'm coming to burst your bubble. I'm here to tell you that you got to stop feeling insecure about who you are in God, for you were bought with a great price. Nobody else I know would lay down their life for a thief. Nobody else I know would lay down their life for a murderer. Nobody else I know would lay down their life for an old drug addict like me. But I know that the great price that was paid makes it worth it all, makes it worth going forward, lets me realize that I have everything that I need. I just got to go out to the sea and put my hook out there. Does anybody have their rod on the ready? When God speaks, he's wanting you to move. We have churches with a lot of faith, but a famine for hope. People, you tell me if I'm wrong and I'll sit down. People pray for others, but without the encouragement of hope, they'll go back out the same way that they came up to the altar, with no change in countenance, no spiritual uplifting. So that tells me that faith is not enough alone. Faith is something that is provoked by hope. Faith is something that comes alive when you begin to believe in something as not as though it is. When I begin to see, when I see hope, I see a final destination. I don't see my debts. I see my debts paid. I don't see sickness. I see sickness healed. I don't see death. I see life. When I see people, I don't see what brings you down, but I believe in what will pick you up and help you in your time of need. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but I'm trying to be quick too. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, if you want to follow along. I'm trying to move this quick. By whom also we have access by what? Faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in what? Hope of the glory of God. You can't just rejoice by faith. For without a picture of hope in your mind, what you do will be meaningless to your spirit. It's like a sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. It's the motions, but zero saved all year long in a church. It's the motions and member counts going down everywhere in the land. Somebody that goes to another church, say amen. Everywhere that you go, you're seeing decline, decline, decline. And every now and then, somebody will come in and get anointed just enough to hold that mark right where it is. But as wickedness begins to creep in through division, as wickedness begins to creep in through unsound doctrine, as wickedness begins to creep inside of the minds, we're not willing to fight spiritual warfare because we've lost the substance of hope. And I want to tell you that you'll never take action unless you have faith. But without faith, you don't have hope. So I'm telling you, stop being so numb to your problems. Stop being so numb when you come into God's house. When you worship, it's not about who you do it for or when you do it. Oh, what matters is that you're following God. When you read about our role as a Christian, it's made reference to being fishers of men. We are to put a line out there and not just depend on the net. It's easy with a net. But even when they had the net, they still got it wrong. When Jesus came across them throwing the net, he didn't ask them how long they'd been out there. What did he ask them? Have you caught anything? Didn't care how long they'd been there. What he was concerned about is, have you caught anything? That's what I'm asking you, church. What have you been going after that is bringing life to you? What are you in pursuit of in your life? The answer may not be good. I don't want you to answer me openly. I want to tell you that that answer may be something that's worldly or secular or something that's not of God. But I'm telling you, you are what you eat. You are what you do. And what you surround yourself with, you will become. And if we're going to a church that is idle, and we're going to a church that's not bold in the spirit, then you are what you eat. If you're not willing to break the mold and be something different, then you will become, man, I feel the Holy Ghost, you will become what you are around. If you let people sit you down, if you let people shut you up, then you're not casting out the line that God wanted you to do. This was an individual challenge to Peter to say, if you'll be willing to cast out your line and you give it a tug when you feel it, then I know that you'll have what you need. Some of you are looking for a blessing, and God's saying, put your hook out there. Worship me. Praise me. Receive the word. Somebody needs to shout right now. Somebody needs to give him praise. Somebody needs to come alive in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you right now, I refuse to go to a church where Christ is not alive. I refuse to go to a church where the Holy Ghost can't move. If I've got to stay home to feel his presence, then I will.